Running a call center is tough. Leading a sales team is a challenge. Luckily, your hosts know what it takes to succeed. What you can expect from your two guides? Conversations that won't be overly scripted. Definitely not salesy or boring. Just filled with as much value as possible. Each week, Jason and Oliver will bring you topics to help scale your team, increase profits, and actually feel like you are winning. So, if you are ready to up your game and become the best in the business, tune in, take notes, and be prepared to learn. And here they are with another episode of Call Center Confidence. It's Jason Cutter and Oliver Katt.
What's going on, everybody? I am back. Oliver, thank you for holding down the fort last week. I feel like I kick off the show, but it's been your show recently. Tell me how last week went. I tuned in for some of it live before going off the grid. How'd it go with your friends?
Well, you were missed. You were definitely missed last week. It was a great episode. Paul, Rich and Neil did a fantastic job talking about their experience with leadership and management in a real life environment, talking about their examples. So if you missed out last week's episode, very insightful, some serious bombs were dropped. It was a great episode, and credit to those guys. But it was good. It's great to have you back, though. You need to join me on the next episode. We get a few people on.
Yes, that will be fun. And I know from tuning into that again right before I ended up going off the grid for 4 days, like right at the last minute, I caught it for a few minutes. I thought, hey, that would be fun. Let's do more of that. So for anybody watching or listening to this, I know Oliver and I have talked about this. We talked about this early in the show and we figured, hey, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Like we can do this for days. But, you know, it is fun to mix it up. So if you're listening to this, you're watching it live, the replay, listening on the podcast, feel free to email us. Go email us at info@callcenterconfidence.com. Tell us a bit about yourself, who you are. If we don't know who you are, if we know who you are, just let us know. Hey, let me on the show. We'll set you up. We'll schedule it. We'll have fun. There's always stuff we can do. Whether you're a service provider to call centers, you run a call center, either side is interesting and fun because everyone's got their perspective on how to succeed and how to build the confidence, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget, guys, let you know, if you provide services to contact centers, software, things like that, you know, we want to hear from you. We want you to talk about your experiences with call centers. You want to promote your product, it's entirely up to you. But you know, come and talk to us, talk to everybody else and talk to our audience about why, you know, they should be buying your services. Although we're as we said, we're never selling, but we talk about what we do is great. You know, we talk about speech analytics, we talk about e-learning platforms, we talk about quality assurance systems, we talk about e-chat and web chat platforms, you name it, the whole nine yards are all there. So there's so much to say and do. But anyway, Jason, you're back from your 4 days off the grid in the Grand Canyon. Sounds like you had a great time. You need to share photos and videos with everyone, even though apparently they didn't let you take your camera, right?
Yes, and I will. That was the interesting side effect for me, especially with having them lock up our phones before we left in the case it even says it will be okay as you're putting your phone in there under a lockdown for 4 days, not to see it again. And, you know, communicating with people, that's one thing. I've done it before, 4 days off the grid, but not being able to take pictures was the biggest reflex that I wanted to do. Luckily, they had a photographer and a videographer following along and taking pictures and doing stuff. So once I have those, I'll definitely share it with the community. It was a great adventure and a great reminder, mostly for me to be present. Like if I could give one lesson before we jump in today, just be present, right? No electronics, driving through crazy wilderness and different things like that, and just paying attention to be safe and then enjoying the scenery, getting away from everything was just about being present instead of thinking about the 9 million things to do or the people to call. So yeah, it was good, but definitely glad to be back.
Yeah, well, welcome back. That's the main thing, and that's we're glad you're back on that one. So, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to talk about an interesting topic that is very debatable, depending on which side. Well, it's very debatable, no matter who you are on either side of the fence, and that is how HR can be an ally to sales. Okay. So, in my experience, HR is like getting called into the principal's office, right? Whether you're going to them or they're coming to you, there's just this connotation. Like anytime you've got to talk to somebody in HR, There's something wrong. They either need you to fill out a form or do something. You did something wrong, or you're potentially in trouble, especially from the sales side. But I think, and you know, we both agree that there is a ton of ways to have HR and sales work together so that sales can be successful instead of this, like, this siloed, like, battle against the two departments, particularly, especially how integrated they are and how important it is. And so for you, Oliver, like, when you hear about that, when I make the statement, how HR can be an ally to sales, whether you want to start giving tips or not, how, what does that make you think of? Or what have you seen in the past where you're like, Jason, you're nuts, this topic is stupid, and we're going to debate the crap out of this for the first time ever, I'm going to disagree with you?
HR and sales sends shivers down my spine. I think, you know, there's a difference, right? You know, we talk about a lot of things when we talk about HR and sales and things like that. A lot of the bad things from the back end of that usually come from quality and compliance. We've spoken about that team specifically already. So, you know, that's then. I mean, for me, HR is that kind of second line, if you will, because something has gone drastically wrong. There's been a major breach in somewhere, or something has failed in the process. And in my book, and especially from the UK side of things and some of the US centers that I work with, HR normally come in at the back end. Now, the fact of the matter is, you know, they're not part of the operation as much as we would like. They're not part of the floor. I've worked with some companies that actually encourage HR to be present, you know, knowing the teams, going around, walking the floor, getting involved, because then it's not always a negative thing when HR get involved. Jason, look, talk to me, right? You know that saying where, you know, you get people that come in and go, it's Oliver, into my office now. It's like, oh, what have I done wrong? You know, we all know that feeling. And that's never that feeling. And that's where, if it's done right and HR are present, HR are involved, HR are walking the floor, they do know their teams, when somebody is called to the HR office, it isn't always subject to that negative connotation of what have I done wrong. And I think you even wrote that in the post when you announced this week's episode. If I go back to it, being called to the principal's office as a kid, that's what it is. Going back to leadership very quickly, that's one of the things that I don't like, is when somebody says, hey, come to my office, that everybody thinks, what have I done? No one likes that feeling. I mean, what do you feel in that environment?
It's so tough because I think that is just always the case. I mean, I think part of it is just human psychology. Part of it is just a general, like, if we go to evolutionary psychology and biology and us as cavemen and women not too long ago, and we look at the fact that there's two reasons that we survived and thrived on this planet, and that we've absolutely dominated this planet for good or for bad, right? Like, there's no doubt humans have dominated the planet. In most ways, it's not always ideal for the planet. There's two things that kept us alive and made us successful. One is that we have a fear of change. So once we know something works, keep doing that, because literally picking the wrong berry could cause you to get sick and then die, right? There's no doctor to take care of that. There's no medicine. You could die. The other part is that we did all of this as a group, as a species, as a tribe, as a community. And so if you did anything wrong against the tribe, or you weren't a good team player of the tribe, or weren't useful, or you were a drain on them, they just kick you out or leave you behind, and then you would die on your own. So that part of our brain is still there. So it's very interesting to think about the fact that when you get called into the principal's office or the HR's office or your manager's office, and that feeling that happens, it's really about, like, I don't want to get in trouble. And part of that is literally what we've been carrying around with us for thousands or millions of years, which we just don't want to get kicked out of the tribe. Then you compound that on the fact that we've all been kids. We've all gotten in trouble. Our parents wanted to talk to us. Our teachers want to talk to us. A principal did want to talk to us. Like, you know, then we have that reaction. Then you become an adult and it feels that same way. And I think that's tough. I think that it's a negative tone no matter what. Even if that person wants to share good news, just the idea of being called in is bad. And then I think, you know, going to kind of what sets this up in this framework, but before we really dive into, you know, solutions and tips that HR and sales can do, I think one of the things is that a lot of times, I'll say a lot of times, because sometimes it might not happen, a lot of times sales just wants to do whatever sales wants to do. They don't necessarily want to fill out their time card. They don't want to show up on time. They don't want to leave when they're supposed to. They don't want to come back from their lunches when they're supposed to. They don't want to take their breaks. And sometimes I've seen it where salespeople who are on an hourly and there's restrictions, you know, like when I've been in California, like any extras overtime and they have to take their breaks at certain intervals because of the state law, you have salespeople who just want to work extra. It's not that they're lazy and they don't want to work. I have salespeople who I'm like, if you don't take your break, we're going to get sued by the state. So you need to go take your break. And you literally are like unplugging their computer to make them go take a break.
Yeah.
And so again, it's not always lazy. Sometimes they want to work more. But salespeople want to do what they want to do. You brought up QA and quality assurance, right? Salespeople want to say what they want to say. They don't want anyone telling them that they can't just do, let me do what I do best, man. I don't need your script and your compliance. Let me do what I do best. And then that, you know, if any organization cares about their long-term success, that's going to be an issue, right?
Well, exactly. And I think that's a really relevant point, because I'm working with a client at the moment that's reselling other people's products and services. But the reseller of the original products actually has in their presentation that I've gone through with the team, and it says, if you're in breach of quality, compliance, scripts, or anything like that, X percentage will be removed for this type of breach. X percentage will be removed for that type of breach.
Yeah.
And they have a whole kind of stage gate list of what they can and can't do. And likewise, at the same time, you know, you've got to make sure that you're following the rules. And how many times do you allow those breaches to go through before you get HR involved? And there's lots of rules and regulations about it. No one likes it. No one likes to be called up. And touching on a point you brought up about some of these salespeople that don't want to leave the floor. They don't want to take a break. They want to work all the overtime going. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, some companies don't have the ability to offer overtime because they don't have the funds or the capital behind them or anything to over that. But if they're making commission, great, they can earn commission that way. But as you say, breaks, legal working hours, legislation, if you're not careful, you run the risk. And if somebody does a spot check, then you know you could be in a lot of trouble like that. I know somebody where you had to drag this particular person who I'm thinking of off the phone, kicking and screaming, to go, just go and grab a coffee. Take 5 minutes, please. Go to the bathroom. Get off the phones. But at the end of the day, those people are great because they are motivated. You can tell they're there for the money. You can tell they're there for permission. They're not there for the base salary. These guys want to speak to the customers. And they want to do right by the customers because they know that if they do it the right way, they can walk away with a ton of money.
Yeah. And I think for any salespeople watching this or, you know, frontline sales leaders and managers, one of the biggest things is to understand those rules are in place. Not to be restrictive, not to be mean, not to like, hey, you have to take your breaks, you have to clock in and out. Those are there for legal reasons. And a lot of times managers don't make that clear enough to the sales team. Sales team don't listen or think about it from terms of the business, the legislation, the rules. And they think, I pick sales because I don't like rules and I'm not a rule follower. Otherwise, I would have picked a different job that follows rules, right? Or has structure. Just let me do what I do. And then that butts heads with an actual organization that's built to last, right? That's the difference. There's some sales organizations that aren't built to last and they're like cowboys and they just do whatever they want. And then they usually at some point bust or, you know, go under. But I think that's important for people to realize. And I think for salespeople listening to this and managers, this is a good thing I've always told people is remind your salespeople that the business is in the business of making money and being successful. If they put in rules or parameters, like what you were just talking about, it is for the success of the business. It is not to hamper anybody or, you know, make it difficult. Like if they're going to do anything, it's to make them successful. And so you got to remember that. And I think that then leads into, you know, offsetting some of the things where a manager or a HR person from the team has to have meetings with that salesperson. If you're doing everything you are supposed to and you're compliant with everything, then you don't have those meetings, right? Like I wasn't in school, I wasn't called into the principal's office except when I messed something up and I knew I messed that thing up. So it wasn't a surprise, right? There's usually no surprise calls into the office unless you did something.
Yep.
And so if you can just keep your nose clean, then, you know, the principal, HR, your manager, it's a positive experience because they're just trying to help you.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So, right. Talking of the connotations, talking of the situations, the thought process of HR, what they do, why they do it, right? I think it's important for us to talk directly for all those HR professionals out there, or for people that own or run call centers that have HR teams reporting into them. It's vital that you understand that this is the image that is perceived across your call center in regards to HR. Now, this isn't everyone. This isn't every call center. This isn't every office. But 9 out of 10 people have these thoughts, people have these feelings, and they don't necessarily like it. And obviously, the higher up you go, the closer your relationship is usually with the HR team. So you're in and out of that. I mean, look, when I worked with companies directly and I worked in-house with people, I worked with the HR team, and I was always in and out of their office. So for me, being called to the HR office, yeah, it didn't ring any bells for me. I wasn't ever worried about it. But for people that never really had any interaction with that HR office, that's the point that you're making, Jason. So for me, this is where we really kind of need to talk to you guys as business owners, HR personnel. What do we need to do to change that image? How do we perfect that image that, you know, it's not necessarily be there about the tellings off, or be there for the people, or be there to read the rule book or do this? What do you need to do to get involved and have that relationship? Now, I can speak on my behalf, and I've worked with companies. I mentioned this at the beginning of today's episode, that we had HR teams, and my VP of operations that I used to report into was very, very clear with his HR personnel in his sights. He says, I want you walking the floor. I want you to go and sit down with the guys. I want you to listen to calls so that people see you out and about. It's not just about being stuck behind a computer. It's not about being stuck in that office where you don't know anybody on a personal level. You don't work with people. And again, HR do have to separate themselves. I get that. I understand that. But from a business perspective, and Jason, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, is should HR be sat with the guys? Should they be out there, you know, interacting with the teams the same way as everyone else? I think they should. And I think there is a relationship that can be built, but it's the same relationship that needs to be built between leader and direct report, you know, and your subordinate, because that's the same relationship. No one should ever cross that line. And there's a fine line between leadership and friendship. We've spoken about that many a time, and I'm sure it will come up time and time and time again. What do you feel about that line between HR and personnel and being out there with everybody?
So I love that idea, and I don't want to call it a strategy, that action step, right? I've never seen anyone do that from HR or the HR department, where they actually go and they're not just mingling, but like listening and taking an active role in anything to do with sales, or generally most departments, right? They're usually up underwater with what they're dealing with. They're so busy as it is, just like all management and leadership. Like there's a certain point where you just feel like you're never going to get out of the hole you're in. But I love that suggestion. I think that's so important. And I appreciate that you referenced and tied it to the way that leaders, right? A leader being anybody in a leadership management hierarchy, right? From a manager, sales manager, especially anybody who's in a office, right? If you're a team lead and you're in the cubicle next to everybody, you're already present. You're already there, right? But if you're in an office, you're separated. Then I have always made that a point and encouraged my managers that work for me or the ones I consult with, make that a point for them as well, to get out and be present and be visible as much as possible, so that their presence isn't just, oh my gosh, Jason is coming. Like everyone act like you're working and closing lots of deals, right? Or else you're going to get in trouble. And so it's like, no, I don't want that. I want everyone to be themselves and just do what they do. And I want to have a positive relationship. Like you said, there's a line between leadership and friendship that you don't want to cross. But being able to be seen, like I'm here to help you. And that's what I tell people all the time. Like I am here to make sure you win. It doesn't do the company any good for me to make sure you fail and then get rid of you. Like that is detrimental to the company. So I'd rather see you win, and I'm here to do that. One of the other things that I did, which I think is good for HR to do too, is not just floor time, not just being present, management by walking around, interacting with people that way, but also I made it a point to have people come into my office and have meetings and bring people in where it wasn't just negative. It was positive stuff, or it was getting to know them. Like I didn't want the reflex to be, hey, come into my office so we can chat. to always be seen as a negative. I want it to be a mystery. Could be positive, could be not, like whatever. Usually people know if there's, you know, something not good, but I wanted to change that association with being called in. I think that's a big one. And for HR to do that as much as possible, to have meetings with people, maybe it's reviews, maybe it's just checking in, maybe it's talking about benefits or paperwork, like other things that are okay and positive, and change that association so that it's a balanced, right?
Yeah. No. I agree with that. And I think, you know, I love the whole piece about, you know, making sure that it's not negative and there are positive things in there, because that's the thing. A lot of people always associate it with that negativity, and we have to do the positive reinforcement. And that's the way we start to change the way that people feel about being called into these offices, being called into these meetings. But then again, you know, I've worked with senior directors, I've worked with senior management that don't have offices for that reason, because they don't want people to feel like when they're being summoned, they're being summoned to something to you know, be told off. I get, you know, HR management, you have to have offices somewhere. I get that, because there are, you know, private confidential conversations that have to be had away from the floor, away from everything else. But if you can encourage that, you know, people are all separated on the floor, or people are all sat on the floor. I've worked in call centers where every single member of senior management is based out on the floor. And they're working there, because then you're involved in everything from every single level, and that makes a massive difference. But on the downside is, if they don't have offices, and the minute you're called to an office, you start to question why you're called to an office in the first place. So, you know, there's ups and downs with each one that come with it, and I think that's the important thing to remember. Like, if you don't do something as regular enough, and all of a sudden it stands out as being different, then there's something up. I'm going to reference it. It's not call center related, but I'm going to reference it to where I live right now. And the point I want to make with this is that when we had COVID here, where I live, we still do now, but quite wildly at the moment. When it first happened, the prime minister of the country would come on TV and internet and broadcast, whatever, and they'd do that every Friday. And then obviously it died out. And then eventually the only time you ever heard from him was when there was a problem, when there was going to be a curfew inflicted, when there was going to be a restriction inflicted. Yeah. And it got to the point that as soon as you saw the announcement on social media or in the press or whatever that he was going to go live on air, you went, what now?
Yeah.
What is he going to update now? You know, there was never any good news. And that is the same thing we need to look at. So, you know, how you change that, how you publicly announce good news, bad news, whatever it is, I think that all comes with the message and the operation behind it. I mean, I don't know if you agree with that.
I do. And I have I want to say a funny story. There's a trick we played on somebody, which wasn't really nice in retrospect. But the first management job that I had in leading a team, it became common knowledge among the employees that when he was the I don't even remember his title, but one of his roles, because it was a startup, so he had like many different hats, but one of them was HR and benefits. If he was in the owner's office, sitting there with a yellow tablet on his lap, and you were called into that office, you were about to be fired.
Oh, wow.
That was it. That was the only reason he would ever be in that office. And that was the only thing that happened. And it became common knowledge. Like, if you walk down the hall and you see that, like, if they're calling for you, you might as well just grab your stuff on the way. Like, you're done. So we actually, side note, we played a trick on a guy we were actually promoting. So we set it up with that. And then he came in and thought that he was getting fired because he saw him in there. And then we ended up promoting him. So he had a heart attack, but he survived. It seems funny to us at the time. It probably wasn't. It was probably very scarring. But, you know, I think that's the thing too, is that, you know, everyone on the floor will see the trends and understand it, and then like just have that reaction. So how do you change that, right?
Hey, it's Oliver Cat of Cutter and Cat, and we'll be right back to the podcast. But first, are you ready to help build up the confidence of your call center team so that they can scale and generate more revenue? In our experience, there are many factors that could be keeping your sales operation from achieving the success that you want. The first step to creating call center confidence is to determine the gaps between where you are now and where you would like to be. If you're ready to find out how we can help your sales operation, whether it's anything from training to systems, technology, outsourcing, or anything else in between, email info@callcenterconfidence.com and we'll set up a free assessment call to find out how we may be able to help. Now back to Jason and I chatting about call centers.
What if when you called that guy to that office and you had the other guy in there with the yellow iPad, the running joke was for, you know, everybody to just grab their stuff and leave. What if he actually walked out the door instead of coming to the meeting?
It was a very short hallway in a very small office, so it was hard to get away, you know, once you were walking down that hall. You know, no one actually bolted. And we actually had him play the HR guy. We had him play the somber part because he would always have this somber face on when about to, you know, fire someone because it's not fun. And it was funny, not funny for sure. And, you know, I think that's, again, I bring up that story too, because again, what kind of tone are you setting for leadership, for the boss? I've had owners I've worked for, when they call me, I'm like, uh-oh, like what's going on? Like, you know, did I do something? What do I need to do? And, you know, it's not always bad, but we just get that reflex. So I think, you know, let's talk about, but what can they do? So I think part of it you said is a great suggestion, being present, being out there, being a part of the team, having them see you as an ally if you're in HR, and then also having more meetings that are not just disciplinary or negative, but every meeting, right? All of it, and just balancing the tone of it. What other stuff comes to mind as far as what HR can do from their perspective to be an ally to sales, or how can sales help HR be an ally instead of a barrier?
Okay, look, first things first, everybody always sees HR sometimes as the barrier, especially when it comes to sales, because, you know, a lot of companies, and this is nothing against any HR department that I've ever worked with, but I've seen it and I've witnessed it, where HR don't understand the business, don't understand what they're trying to achieve, which is, so when they run these, you know, forums, or when they run focus groups, or when they pull people into these types of conversations, unfortunately, you know, they don't understand what is actually going on to the fullest extent. So, you know, they suggest this and suggest that, which doesn't necessarily fit in with what the sales team's message is in regards to whatever they're talking about. So this is why I think it's important to start small and start having, you know, HR understand what the opportunities are, what the restrictions are sometimes in sales, and also what sometimes the problems are, because when they understand that and they understand what the call center is trying to achieve, it starts to change that mindset and starts to change the frequency. Going back to the comment I made before about one of the last companies I used to work for, we used to get HR to go and walk the floor, sit with the team, listen to calls, understand the struggles and everything else they're up against. I think at one point our senior VP even turned around to the HR team and said, look, I know you work like Monday to Friday 9 to 6. We want you to do like one late shift a week with the same, you know, the same time that the call center guys work, that are on the phones. You know, they might be working through till 11 o'clock in the evening taking inbound sales calls. Come in at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon and work through till 11. I think that's a big message to take. And also, not a lot of people like to do that, because, you know, when they're contracted into an admin role, and I'm not speaking about every person in an admin role out there, is 9 times out of 10, they're on a Monday to Friday 9 to 6 position. And that's why some of these people go into that role in the first place, because, you know, they're happy with the fact that they've got their weekends, they've got their evenings, they've got a life. And I get there's a life-work balance out there, but sometimes it is important to show that your administration staff are working the team. You know, I ran training predominantly is normally a Monday to Friday 9 to 6 job, unless any other business requirements come up in terms of inductions or whatever it might be. I used to get my trainers at the same thing. I said, guys, look, you're working some of the late shifts. I want you understanding what some of these late calls come through like. It's the same situation. And that's the thing. I'm looking at a comment from Rich. You know, he's just put in there, you know, HR not on the floor. Of course, they need their offices. And yes, I get that. You know, HR do need offices, granted. And they have to deal with so much PNC information. It's ridiculous. And they are always put away. But when I'm talking about being on the floor, Rich, and this is to everybody else, I'm talking about, you know, half an hour here, an hour there, go and sit out there, go and sit with the guys, have lunch with the guys, understand what they're up against. It's an option. I know, you know, you said you like the idea. It's something that some businesses do just to breach the differences between team and HR.
Yeah. And I love that. And Rich, call center confidence veteran, thanks for tuning in and for that comment. I think, I agree with you about, you know, HR understanding what makes them tick. I think one of the biggest things, and at least in all the organizations that I've been a part of and I work with, HR is ultimately responsible for things like the compensation plan and the job description, right? Like sales may make up a comp plan, but HR has to enforce, reinforce. They got to deal with payroll. They're pulling in the reports. Like they're the manager and owner of the documents. Like we're talking legal documents, right? Like how someone gets paid. That's an agreement. And so a lot of times what happens is sales makes this document, a compensation plan, and says, here you go, HR, now enforce this. And then they don't always understand it. And then there's compliance issues. So the more I have seen successful is when sales leaders and HR leaders get together and talk about and go through the compensation plan and the structure just to ensure that everyone is in alignment with the same things that the company wants. Because here it is, and I'll say this, not necessarily our audience on here of sales leaders and call center leaders, but many other sales leaders out there, they make a comp plan where everyone just gets paid as much as money possible. QA is not important. Compliance isn't important. Timekeeping isn't important. You know, all these other things that just get in the way, like we were talking about a little bit ago. And so sales will make a comp plan that's all winning and no losing. But that doesn't benefit the business, and that's not how you run an effective business long-term at scale. So HR will need to step in, and then they're seen as the bad person, the bad department. And so I think when you work together with HR and say, okay, how is this going to work? And then here's the thing, and this is where I see HR's value a lot, is they usually have an HR system, an HRIS. They have a platform. Hopefully, if your organization is set up right, it's tied in with the CRM, and they're getting that data, whether it's the compliance, the QA data, it's the payroll, it's the everything that would then go to the accounting side for paying people. Yep. HR is a lot of times in well-run organizations, they are the hub of all the data. And if you as a sales leader can get HR to understand the KPIs that are most important, not just making more money, because that's not the only KPI that matters. That's the dangerous KPI if you let salespeople run with it. But what are all the KPIs that matter to an organization and to that salesperson, and have HR look at that? HR usually has the data. They have the numbers, and they can be a valuable tool to help sales managers who are usually overwhelmed and busy as well, like feeding them some data and working on things together instead of, again, sales versus. Have you seen that in organizations, Oliver, like where they're actually in alignment and HR is providing data and they're using that as a hub? Or have you seen them be the hub but not utilized?
I would say the latter. On that one,
I
think, and that's a majority. Look, guys, if you're in HR and you're listening, and you know you agree with this or disagree with this, please let us know, because I think your experience when it comes to HR getting involved in this is what you see on a day-to-day basis. If you're HR and you feel that you aren't as involved as you should be, or you need to be involved more, you tell us, because I think you're the only ones that can comment on a situation like that. We are going from what we've seen and what we've been involved in and who we're helping. And a client I've seen recently, their HR has been pro-employee, and the guys are going, well, they've not hit the KPIs, they've not hit their metrics, they've not hit their targets, they've not done this, they've not done that. We should give them another chance. Like, well, we're paying for these sales guys. We either need to make a decision to we cut them because they're not hitting target. I get we have to be pro-employee, but at the end of the day, we can't afford to keep paying for somebody who's not generating a return on investment.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest things, and this is where, again, I'm just going to go based on my experience, isn't true 100% of the time. Sales will at times feel like HR is against them. HR just wants to fire everybody. HR doesn't want the people in the sales team. And that's not true. HR, especially when it's set up right, their metrics, their KPI is retention. It's filling seats. It's growing the organization, right? Like, again, they are at the hub. Their title is human resources. They're in charge of the humans, right? They want the humans there and they want them to succeed. In sales, again, they say, okay, you just want to fire everybody. No, like that's their job. They're usually a vital part of recruiting and hiring. And then depending on the organization, training falls under HR as well in some capacity. And so the more I've seen it be successful is when sales realizes HR is an ally to help in the recruiting. And the more HR understands who you're looking for, not just the numbers, not just who's a top salesperson, but who's the best salesperson that's the most consistent and efficient and effective and best fit for the culture, the more that sales can educate and train HR for that, they will find those people. And the more you can work together with them to keep those people, the better. I am always surprised at how much HR doesn't take an active role in training and just says, okay, you're sales, you train yourself. Yep. Where I think HR should be bringing in people, right? Like outside resources, inside resources, and just being like, again, they're in charge of the humans. Downside is they usually get in charge of the paperwork and the admin, and they're too busy with that stuff, and they forget about the humans.
So look, I think you're absolutely right there. And I think if I jump back, now obviously as a consultant, I can't always necessarily comment on HR. And the reason for that is because, you know, I'm not always involved with HR on that level, especially as I go in as a consultant. Okay. If I go back to the last four companies that I worked for in a call center environment, okay, and these were companies that I worked for directly, okay, when I was employed by them. The fourth one, so the furthest one away, I don't even remember having any involvement with HR whatsoever apart from my recruitment. That was it, right?
Wow.
And not to say they weren't there or anything like that, but the level I was at, I don't ever remember having any involvement, ever seeing them or ever hearing about them, unless there was a problem or somebody was getting fired, all right? Jump forward to the next call center role or call center business that I worked for as a training manager. When I was there, the HR manager, lovely person. And there was two of them. There was a HR and there was a HRD there because it was a group HR overall. The HRD I worked with directly because I ended up reporting into him. But the HR manager who was on site with the personnel, because they were so busy with administration, employee behavior issues, promotions, demotions, firings, hirings, everything else, I would ever see them when I needed something. Other than that, they were always in their office, never ever saw them. The third one, I was involved with them heavily. I basically was at conjoined departments with them, but they walked the floor. They went out and about. Everybody knew who they were. They actually knew everybody. I love that about them. That was my last
complaint. That's great.
And they were there. And yeah, everybody had a great relationship with them. And even though you had a great relationship with them, when there was a problem, there was that line that we talked about, that we discussed, there was that barrier. And they did a fantastic job of maintaining that barrier, maintaining that relationships. They were involved in all the meetings. They were involved on the floor. They were involved in all the senior operations information. If they went out, we did team nights out, they were involved. And I think that was a fantastic approach. And part of that is to do with the COO who's there, the CFO who's there, and the CEO who's there. They were very all-encompassing of making sure that everybody was involved at every level. Everybody operated at a level above where they were. So there was that walking the floor. And the fact of where the offices were located, if you ever had to travel to one of the other directors' offices, you kind of had to walk through the call center to get there. And I think that's what made a difference, because then they would stop at the different banks and the desks as they're chatting down the corridor. And I loved that. And that was the last company I worked for in London. And then moved when I worked internationally in the last call center I worked for directly. That was the specific center I'm talking about where, you know, they encouraged the HR people to do a late shift. They encourage the people to go and walk the sales floor. And again, very similar, the offices were positioned where you had to go to, you know, across the call center floor. And I think, again, these little things, these little tweaks, that the offices aren't all down that end of the call center. So, you know, everybody just huddles over there. It was an office here, an office there, an office over there, an office over there. So you incorporated that travel, as it were, that integration, and everybody knew who they were. And the good thing about these last two companies, HR were involved in recruitment. They would come into training. They would spend time in training, so they knew that. I think when it became operational, maybe they were slightly withdrawn because there was a lot to go on and there is a lot involved. But if I go back and think about the four sites that the company managed that I last worked for, every single one knew everyone. And I love that. I absolutely love that. And again, they maintained the barrier of employee versus HR. Even though they'd have a laugh with you, they'd have a joke with you, they understood the business. That was the one thing that was maintained. And I love that.
Yeah. And I think that's great. I mean, I think those examples span the range, right, of things that I've seen. And I think what works and doesn't work from a perspective of it's just not as effective. I mean, again, the thing I tell all of my clients and I focus on with every company is it's one customer and it's one company that's providing a product or service. The customer doesn't actually care about your departments. They care about their solution, their issue, their goals, their hopes, their dreams, that's all they care about. They don't care about your marketing department and your sales department and your KPIs and your HR and your billing. They don't care. They care about themselves. We all do, right? And so the key is as an organization, no matter what department, is to remember it's one customer, it's one company, everything else. If you're not rowing in the same direction, working with each other as departments, coworkers, then you're making it harder for yourself and you will find it difficult to win with customers at scale.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's the thing. I mean, look, Rich's comment there at the bottom, the latest one that's coming, you know, he agrees that it's so important that HR understand the challenges of our people across the business in all departments and what they do. And I think that there is something that everybody can take away from this. The idea of providing them an opportunity to get close to the frontline team is something, again, that people can tip it. You know, a lot of people don't like to do it. And this is something, right, that I have come into contact. This isn't me making a bold statement out there. This is making a very generic statement that some people in HR feel is the fact that they should be locked away in the office. They should be away from people because they are dealing with X, Y, and Z. I don't like offices in general unless you have to deal with something that's PNC. That's it, bottom line. I love the openness. I love how it looks. You know, in my last job, I was given an office, but I prefer to sit out on the floor and work with the guys. But then again, you know, you're pulled onto that many, you know, meetings and confidential things that happen when you, you know, work your way up the chain that you have to deal with that somewhere else. I get that. But I love the fact that people get involved and they say, oh, it's not my job. I shouldn't have to be involved. I shouldn't know it. It's not about you shouldn't have to. It's about the perception that you give everybody else. And that is the barrier we're trying to break down. That's the barrier that we're trying to talk about today, is how do we bring down those walls? How do we bring down those preconceptions? And hopefully some of the advice that we've kind of spoke about, some of the pointers, will give all of you out there something to think about, something to do. I mean, Jason, you know, you know as well as I do that everybody has their own thought processes when it comes to what they should and shouldn't be doing with work. People for many, many, many years. But do you think those comments should be within a HR space? Do you think they should be there?
Yeah, and you were talking about a moment ago, where HR is, there's people who just want to go into their office, close their door, and do HR stuff or do admin stuff. What I have found, and I didn't realize this, was actually the different career paths within HR, is that there's HR on the admin side, which is the benefits and the paperwork and the payroll and all of that stuff, like that part. And then there's the HR, which is more about the people and the processes. And I think if you're a owner of an organization, any organization, I mean, we're talking about call centers. That's the name of this show. It's about what we do. This could apply to any organization. I think if you own it, you're running it, you're in charge of it, is to realize what positions you need to fill specifically in HR that could help the company, and then to separate those two. Because I think what happens is the admin will always overshadow everything else, the people side, right? We talked about that when we talked about managers and leaders, and where I was saying, like, you know, if you're not careful, if you're a frontline manager, that your job is to coach and lead the frontline troops, then you need to be careful of not falling into email hell and meeting hell, where you're now distracted and feel obligated to all of that stuff. And then your troops are just basically dying on the front line, right? And they're losing. And so I think the same thing with HR is, what type of HR person do you have? What do they default to? Are they more the people side or the admin side? And making sure you have that balance and making sure that you have people doing the right thing. Like we talked about with sales leaders, right? There's some levels of sales leadership in the organization, in the org chart, where they move up and it's about meetings and emails and processes and systems and planning and the big overview. Some of them need to be there with the people. And I think what you said is true. I mean, there's the HR people who want to go in their office and hide and do their work. And then there's others that they're more focused on the human side, which is great. And knowing who you have and what would work best for what sales needs in the moment.
Yeah. And I love that. And I think that you're so right with the two types of personalities that sit within that function, because you do need the balance. You do need those people that are personable, that are people friendly, but you also need to have that balance of people that, you know, don't have that line in them, because they're the people that can have the sometimes difficult conversations. They're the people that, you know, you have to sit there. And I think sometimes, and it's, you know, you're guilty because of the profession you do. And sometimes if you are that person that is always lumbered with the firing, that's always lumbered with the negative conversation, that's always built that way, you're built by your surroundings, you're built by your environment. Yeah. And if you are that person, then maybe you do, you know, hide away, you recluse yourself from these types of conversations. You don't like to go out on the floor, because, you know what, one day, you know, you're going to have that conversations with that person to say, hey, you can't be here anymore. And often that is a very difficult conversation.
Well, and something that just came to mind too about these difficult conversations, here's a tip. Here's something that I've seen that then further divides HR and sales and really eliminates the chance of HR being an ally to sales, is when sales managers and or leaders and or executives don't want to do the unpleasant things like firing somebody. And what they do, they don't want to be the bad cop. Either they don't want to look like the bad cop, or they just don't like doing it. Nobody likes doing it, but like they just really hate the thought of it. And so they delegate/abdicate that to HR. They say, we need to fire this person. Okay, you fire them. I'm going to go to lunch. Let me know when it's safe to come back. Right? Okay. Like almost to that scenario. And then what happens is they're putting their unpleasant tasks on somebody else and then making it so that person is always the bad cop. And then the sales manager or leader is always the good cop. Sometimes you just have to step up and do your own, you know, unpleasant things, because that will keep it from always, you know, dad is always the bad cop. Mom is always the one that lets me, you know, do whatever I want and have cookies. Like you've got to balance that out at some point and sometimes, you know, do your own stuff.
Let me be crystal clear. And I love that point that you just brought up. All right.
About cookies. You love cookies. I know.
Always. I'm just going to have a bag of cookies on my desk, but I don't. Normally I've been somewhere. I got treats, you know, it's the benefit of working from home. This is a message to all leaders out there. This is a message to every single person out there that passes the buck to HR. Guys, don't do it. Don't look like the good cop and pass everything off to HR. This is me defending HR now, right? Nobody out there should be doing that unless that's something you have to do because of X, Y, and Z reason, because, you know, you're either involved or you can't do it because there's some kind of conflict or whatever it might be, okay? If you need to get rid of somebody in your sales team because they haven't hit KPIs, they haven't hit targets, or there is a reason that you are implementing to get rid of this person, own it and do it yourself. It's the hardest thing you'll ever have to do if you haven't done it before, if you've passed it off to anybody else. Again, it's very difficult the first time you do it, but you'll get used to it. The reason why I say this is because if you're the one that implements the KPIs, if you're the ones that implement the rules as to why people need to be there, make sure you are the one that pulls them in and gets rid of them. Because the fact is, HR, anybody else will never have the full facts as to why they are being gotten rid of or removed from the business apart from you. And if you can't justify that and you have to get somebody else to do it, this is where it ends up going around to that vicious cycle where all of a sudden somebody will throw something at that HR person. They'll say a line, oh, well, Oliver never actually told me that I had to hit X, Y, and Z. Then all of a sudden it becomes undone because they go, well, let's pause this meeting while I go back, let's revisit this, and it becomes an absolute nightmare. If you are that person, if you are removing somebody from that business because of whatever reason it might be, own it and do it yourself. Because, you know, you need to be that person. You need to do what needs to be done, and it needs to fall on you and not HR. And that is not a HR responsibility just to get rid of them because of X, Y, and Z. Whenever I've had to get rid of anybody in training because they have not performed in training or they've not delivered in training, I don't call HR and say, get rid of this person. I do it myself. So it's a hard conversation. It's a difficult conversation. But you know what? You can do it, you can justify it, and you can explain it better than anybody else. And that's my two cents on that. I don't like passing firings to anybody else.
I absolutely love it. I've never thought of it in those terms. So that's a great lesson for me to simplify it, which is if you own the KPI, if you were involved in either setting them or managing them or leading people and holding people accountable to said KPI, then you should be responsible for their full life cycle, for the successes, for the losses, for when they need to be disciplined, the performance improvement plans that we talked about, whatever, 12 months ago, whenever we started the show. Those kind of things. If I love what you said, if you manage to that KPI and you have a team that's running towards that KPI, then you own it, right? And I think that's a great lesson. And I have literally seen what you're talking about, where I have been called in as a witness, right? Because I've, you know, in the States and you need a witness and you just to be safe, where the sales manager is not firing somebody, HR is firing, and I'm the closest adult that can then be there as a witness, right? As an executive. And so I'm watching this thing and I'm watching that salesperson who, if they use their skills to sell as well as they did to sell HR on why they shouldn't be fired, they probably would have done better. But selling them on, well, you know what, I never heard that, or prove it, or I didn't see that, or like show me the stats, and HR just getting crushed and having no leg to stand on. And then it's a mess. And then it's like a terrible breakup, and that doesn't work well. So I love what you said. Now, if you need a witness, bring in HR as that witness, because they're always good and impartial, but don't let them do any of the talking. They're sitting there, they're witnessing. It's your show. As much as it sucks in the moment, just deal with it. And again, that will help. The conversation here is about how to have HR be an ally and help them help you succeed as a division, as an operation. And yeah, I love that part. That's great.
And that's the thing, you know, as soon as an objection, as I would call it in sales, is thrown up in any kind of HR meeting, you know, people can crumble quicker than a cheap piece of origami. It's not bad. It's not the way to go. As a prime example, I love this fact that you say bring HR in as note takers or whatever it is. I mean, sometimes it's uncomfortable because if HR is sat in a meeting with you and you call somebody in, they go, okay, here we go. Yeah, right. It's a difficult conversation, as you say, with the guy with the yellow notepad or iPad. Yep. Or what. You know, it's not the best place to be. But the thing is, it's great from a note-taking perspective. I remember getting rid of one of my team many years ago. Lovely guy, great job, but just didn't quite cut what we were trying to do. And there was metrics and KPIs in there, and unfortunately, I had to let him go. It wasn't delivering for me. And it's not through want of trying. It was, you know, we spent a lot of time on it. I'm just trying. There's a reason why I got rid of it. but when I let him go, it got to the point in the conversation where I was explaining X, Y, and Z. And I said, unfortunately, you know, we can't keep you in this position any longer. We you know, you need to leave. And when he received, all the notes and everything else, when we got rid of him, it wasn't a bad, you know, removal from the business. It was a good way of doing it. But you know, it was like, oh no, I was made redundant. I wasn't fired. I'm like, no, let's go back to the notes. This is what I said. But yeah, what happened was he switched off. The minute I said there is no longer a job here for you, unfortunately we need to let you go, He just stopped listening to the reasons why and everything else. And I learned from that what I need to do in what order and things like that. But, and it was a learning curve for me. It was one of the first times I ever did it, but it kind of made me realize what I need to say in what order. It kind of made me realize that you need, as you said, HR in these meetings so they can record everything with a written audio, whatever it might be. But, you know, you do need HR in there for those reasons. And that is a great use for a HR case.
Yeah. And to finish this on a positive note, because now we went into this spiral of like firing people, which isn't fun. It's part of it. But again, I think it's super important on this specific topic about HR plus sales. The final point I want to bring up, and we kind of glanced over it earlier, but generally, HR is in charge of training. At some level, it usually falls under them, whether the trainers fall under them, which you can debate, or they are responsible for the training platform, the LMS is owned by them, it's a part of the HR system, things like that. Then I think the key is to remember that from sales. Sales a lot of times feels like nobody cares, nobody's there to help them, they got to figure it out themselves. Go to HR. Sometimes HR has a budget, they have platforms. A lot of HR professionals I've worked with, they have certifications, they've taken tests, they have a whole bunch of initials after their names because they've gone through so many courses and trainings, not just in HR and policy and admin, but also adult learning, development, training strategies, all of those things. And I think that's super important for sales to remember that. Go to them, go to your HR leaders and say, we need more training. Here's an issue we see. I want to improve new hire training. We need continuing education. What do you recommend? What resources do you have? Do you have a budget for this? Because sometimes they will and use them. And they love doing that. A great HR professional loves helping all the humans, right? It sounds silly when I put it that way, but that's their title. They're in charge of the humans. They want the humans to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just, you know, my final note from that is taking the mick out of my own accent. I love the fact that you say HR and I just go HR. It's my slang on there. I can't even say HR without sounding.
HR.
I go HR. It's the quickest way of saying it. But, you know, I'll learn from you eventually.
There we go. It just sounds like you're saying hate in there a little bit. And it's like, oh, is he doing that on purpose? It's funny. I absolutely love it.
It's the quick way of saying it. HR.
There we go. HR. No, that's great. Well, hopefully this has helped some people out there. I mean, again, it's one of those things where if everyone can just row the same direction and realize they're all on the same team, it can work amazingly well, like your examples that you talked about from two of your last four jobs. So I think that's great. And, you know, what kind of follow-up, where should people come? Go to find out what we've got going on. What have you been posting?
If you want to email out, get on our socials. We're going to check on there. We've been pretty slack with posting recently, admittedly. But both Jason and I have been snowed under with a lot of work. Hopefully we can start to schedule some more content out there for you guys. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, the usual places, LinkedIn page, follow us on there. Or you can email us info@callcenterconfidence.com and visit all of the previous episodes either through all of the podcast applications, which I believe we're pretty much up to scratch with now. I think all episodes are on there bar today's and maybe last week's. I don't know.
Yep. Pretty much caught up now.
Yeah.
And
go on. Sorry.
I was going to say, and a reminder in case you didn't catch the beginning part of this, or, you know, you just as a reminder, if you're interested in coming on the show, if you want to join us, if you want to have some fun, we may or may not tell you what we're going to talk about. We might just throw some ideas at you or we might plan ahead. It's up to you. But yeah, join us. I mean, I think different perspectives are fun. That's why we co-host this together so that there's, you know, these two sides, even though we never really argue and debate and disagree, but you know, it's sometimes, but yeah, I mean, please, it would be super fun. We want to build this network. We want to build this community. As you would say, I'm going to steal your words. We're doing this for you. We're doing this for the people listening, for the people running call centers. So if you're listening to this and you run a call center or you're a service provider to call centers, reach out to us, info@callcenterconfidence.com. And let's chat and let's schedule time to have you jump into the call center confidence family on one of our shows.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, guys, and we will see you next week for more top tips from Jason and myself. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Call Center Confidence Show with Cutter and Kat. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort. For more info about the show, you can always go to www.callcenterconfidence.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.